We're back again with Dr. Mary Claire Haber.
This is part two of Taking Control of Menopause.
And this is Chick to Chick. So Dr. Haber, in our last podcast, we talked a lot about symptoms, and you gave some really great advice and where people can find information, but I really want to switch gears to treatment. I know that that has been a very tricky topic. I mean, when my mom was going through it, there was nothing. She just had to, you know, like white knuckle it. I have now found, you know, a wonderful doctor, honestly, because of what you have shared with me via social media and everybody else that's following you. So let's talk about treatment. I know it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Where do we begin?
So when if you were my patient and I have my patients come in, I do 360 care. You know, I'm a little bit of a cardiologist and a little bit of an orthopedic surgeon, a little bit, because we're more than just breasts and uteruses. And I'm trying to treat the whole patient. So I look at menopause care as a toolkit. Okay. And the most important thing in your toolkit is your nutrition, is making sure you are getting enough protein, you are hitting those the magnesium, the vitamin D. You know, we are making sure that your body can function at optimum. And I'm not talking about calorie counting. I don't give, you know, I have completely left calories out of my discussion with my patients, because it's way more important to talk about nutrition. We talk about movement. Are you moving your body? Probably we were doing in the 70s and 80s and 90s too much cardio for really, you know, the drive to be thin really didn't serve us. Okay. This constant, you know, what does the scale say? What does the scale say? We were chipping away at our muscle and bone strength, which we desperately need in the last third of our lives. We basically have demonized women's bodies, you know, as this like ideal that is unattainable genetically for most of us. And I'm, you know, constantly talking to my daughters about, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. And I'm not, you know, and, you know, one of them literally this morning texted me about joining some gym. And I was like, you're going there to be strong, not skinny.
Great point. Very good point.
Like, we move our bodies for strength. We move our bodies for our hearts and our minds and our stress levels, but we don't go move our bodies to be skinny. We've got to stop this ridiculousness. I talk about pharmacology. You know, the estrogen molecule does so much more than stop a hot flash in a woman who's tried everything else and you're just trying to shut her up and get her out of your office, which is what most menopause care had devolved into. The estrogen molecule can protect your heart, your brain, multiple organ systems. We know it protects your bones. We know it protects your genital urinary system. We are losing women because of the hysteria around the WHI and the fear and the discrimination against hormone therapy to urosepsis from UTIs and from osteoporotic fractures when this is preventable. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is healthcare. We would save so much money if the women who were eligible for hormone therapy could get it. But say you're not a candidate, which is actually very, very few women are not candidates for hormone therapy. So much misinformation around that. But say you're not. We have medicine for hot flashes that work. We have medicine to help keep your bones strong that are very hard to tolerate. So for, you know, cardiovascular disease prevention risk, this coronary artery disease, right? Atherosclerosis and plaques. When you look at the data and the common recommendations, which are a statin if you have high cholesterol, it'll lower your cholesterol. Baby aspirin, and an ACE inhibitor if you have hypertension. None of those interventions work in women. They've never been proven to decrease the risk of cardiovascular disease or death or your mortality. Yet we're blanket recommending them. You know who it works for?
Men.
Men. Only men. So I know I get a little excited about this stuff.
I get it.
Like, they're not researching us as a gender. You know, I mean,
And that
just
brings,
taking the men's data and blanketly applying it to us.
Yes.
Why are we not in the forefront of this research? Why are they blanketing us and saying, well, if it works for men, it's going to work for women? Why are we essentially being ignored in the medical world?
Again, this is a systemic issue, how women are viewed. We were not required to be 50% of studies for medication that we'd be given to women until the 90s, okay? Because our hormones might skew the study. So we're not going to study women. I mean, literally, until we have women in positions of power, until we vote for our own healthcare, this will not change. We have to insist and demand that our health be prioritized. So yes, we live longer than men. That's the thing that, oh, well, you're going to live longer than I am by like 2 or 3 years. I'm like, yeah, but that health, we're going to be 20% in poor health than you are. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a big quality of life and die 2 years sooner. I don't want to live that last 10 years destroyed by chronic disease.
Right.
That's not, then that is what I do in my clinic, is we have these conversations.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that's so important too, that you brought up the first part of this, is that you talked about nutrition. Mm-hmm. So you're actually saying that if we eat right, eat differently, eat the right foods, we can take control of menopause and control these symptoms that maybe we don't even need to use drugs?
No food or supplement is going to regenerate your ovaries. I don't want that to be.
Of course.
When we look at chronic disease risks, it accelerates in menopause from the lack of estrogen. But when we look at heart disease, hypertension, stroke, diabetes, nutrition is a huge part of that. So I'm doing, my clinic is not about stopping hot flashes and, making your skin look better. I mean, that's nice if that happens, but it's about decreasing your risk of chronic disease. And if we don't incorporate nutrition into that, that is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me just take me as a case study, because I think I was one of the many women who fight HRT. So I went to my doctor. They're more on functional medicine side. And I said, here's what's happening with me. And I just don't understand it. I'm fit and I'm healthy. I'm eating well. I'm doing all the things, but I rattled off a litany of my symptoms. Now this was like over 2 years ago. And I know that's when she had said, well, you could try this. Well, I felt like, no, I need to push on. There's certainly, I don't need to take that. Why would I do a pharmaceutical now? Blah, blah, blah. I don't think that I did myself a good service by that. I think I should have started a little earlier and not, had all of these symptoms. So what do you say to women like me, someone who's listening right now, hasn't started HRT, they're afraid of estradiol, they're afraid of progesterone, they're afraid of all of those things. What do you tell them?
So why would you be afraid of hormones that your body made your entire life since puberty?
Well, because
hormones were serving you.
Yeah.
And now that your ovaries can't make them, we treat all aging diseases, hip replacements, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. We aren't expected to like go natural and just deal with it. It is one of the most misogynistic thinking I can think of. No man who goes through testicular failure would be told that he couldn't have testosterone, because not only is, his sexual function going out the window, but also his risk of multiple other diseases, just like us. And don't be afraid of it. The studies are showing that for the vast majority of benefits of women, the benefits outweigh the risks, especially if you start early. There's a window of opportunity for cardio protection, at least in the first 10 years, and neuroprotection from dementia, at least in the first 5 years, meaning you've got to start within the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have to stop after 10 years, or you're not going to get other benefits, or it's going to hurt you after 10 years. I have patients, new start, very selective. We go through an extensive family history and blood work, who are starting hormones in their 60s, because for them, the benefits seem like they're going to outweigh any potential risks.
You heard Carrie's story that she went with it.
Yeah.
Then there was me, and I would hear none of it, suffered through it, put up with it. But
you're still in it.
Well, you're right. I am still in it. But I have to be honest, though, too. I did verbalize some of these things to my doctor, and the message that I got was kind of like, just deal with it. You got to just deal with it.
Because
like, this is life, and just deal with it. And so I did. Those mornings that I thought I was going to lose my mind, I dealt with it.
Yeah, you're a tough Italian. You dealt with it.
I dealt with it. So did I do the right thing? Should I have said, no, I don't want to deal with it?
I would have, because you're missing the cardiovascular protection and the neural protection. And your bones got weaker in the time you were not, enjoying the benefits of hormones. And your genitourinary system took a hit. Your kidneys took a hit. Your joints definitely took a hit by the story you told.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So none of that, all of this is preventable.
Mm. So you have a new book that's out, and we've just got to talk about it because it needs to fly off the shelves. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to promote you like crazy, but it is amazing information. Talk to us about your new book.
All the stuff I talk about, the history, why we got to where we are, what you can do about it, actionable items. You know, I go through organ system by organ system of where estrogen deprivation like is pain points for people. And then what we can do, what the research is showing, what the studies have said, if HRT may or may not be helpful in these situations. HRT does not help at this point with reflux. You know, if you've got a menopausally related reflux, the HRT we have available now is probably not that helpful. But God, in 99% of the cases of different organ systems, it's very helpful. But we, of course, we need more studies. I just wanted people to understand that they're validated, they're educated, they can go into their doctor's office and have an informed conversation so that they can live their best and healthiest lives in the last third of their lives, which is what we all deserve.
You said something important. You said, I'm still going through it. I am still going through it. And a lot of women want to know why postmenopausal. Why are we still having symptoms? When in the hell is this going to end, doctor?
Yeah, because I'm tagging behind you. Good gravy.
A woman not on hormone therapy is forever deteriorating her bones at an accelerated weight. Is forever having genital urinary syndrome of menopause increasing dramatically as she gets older. You will have this forever. Now, the hot flashes usually go away.
Yeah.
Okay, eventually. But I don't want a woman to define her menopause by the presence or absence of a hot flash. That nomenclature and that thinking is hurting more women than helping them.
Wow. So we are in some stage of menopause
forever.
Until we die. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And you can have some benefit of hormone therapy until you die. I will probably die with an estradiol patch on. My husband teases me that they're going to open my casket. There might be some silicone and my bones and a little estradiol patch attached to my hip.
Hey, so will I. But the beauty of it is it's so small. It's so small.
you
really don't even hit it. Last words that you have, doctor. There's a woman who is listening to this. Maybe it's a husband who's listening to it, knows the wife his partner's going through it. What do you want them to know?
Listen, menopause is inevitable. All of us 100% at this moment with the science we have, it's inevitable, but suffering through it is not. And treatment is prevention as well. We have to stop thinking about you don't have to knuckle through it, that you're somehow failing if you choose to replace the hormones your bodies can't make anymore. And that those hormones are protective and will actually lead to a longer, healthier life. Now, that's not to say nutrition isn't important. Supplements might be helpful. You know, we have a toolkit with lots of things in it and they all work synergistic. Stress reduction, finding a community like you guys have built. You know, talking about this with every single person you meet, making this a normal part of conversation so that we have to normalize before we can optimize. All the longevity experts, I mean, I love them to death, but estrogen is the ultimate biohack for women.
The doctor was an absolutely amazing guest. She brought so many things to light, talked about so many important things. And the overriding message is, women, you do not have to suffer. You can take control of menopause. Speak up, talk to your doctor, tell them the symptoms. You don't have to suffer in silence like I did.
I know, she was so fantastic. And we hope that you got a lot out of today's podcast and that you liked what we had to say. Do us a favor, head over to our YouTube channel, like and subscribe, until we're back to chirp about another topic.